You're with us for the morning show as we talk with a representative from the Ho-Chunk Nation. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. The new fiscal year budget would normally take effect yesterday, but the COVID-19 pandemic has put tribal nation budgets in uncharted waters, and the financial picture is largely tied to casino operation recovery. Are you a member of a tribal nation? Are you concerned about the loss of gaming revenue due to the coronavirus? Do you work in a tribal casino? What have the last few months been like? What precautions are in place? Join in 800-642-1234. Matthew Mann is Public Relations Officer for the Ho-Chunk Nation of Wisconsin. Matthew, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for having us here.
Help us understand the scale of gaming run by the Ho-Chunk Nation. How many casinos and gaming facilities are operated throughout Wisconsin?
We have the Wittenberg site. We also have the Nakusa site, the Black River Falls site, the Wisconsin Dells, and the Madison site. And also we have an Anchorage site in Toma. Those are the casinos that we operate within the state of Wisconsin. Also, we have a number of convenience stores also that we operate within those areas, in Wittenberg, in Black River Falls, in the Dells area, and also in the Black River Falls area and Toma.
What happened to these facilities, these casinos, when the coronavirus hit?
We actually followed the governor's orders, being that we're a sovereign nation. We did have the right to stay open, but to help mitigate the spread, being that our facilities, we offer the gaming establishments. We have a lot of people that come in, a lot of patrons that come in from out of state. We decided it would be safer to follow the Safer at Order homes. And it's not like that we didn't, that the people before us didn't plan for this. The representatives in past administrations and past legislatures, we did have revenue set aside, what we called our reserves. And so we initially had taken the advice of our health department, Kiana Bodine, executive director, on how to mitigate the spread. We didn't want to be liable or have one of these cases lead back to one of our facilities. So we had decided to put in our own safer at home orders, not only for our businesses, but also for our tribal members. And if you look at our nation compared to the Ho-Chunk Nation, we have just received an email here from Kiana Bodine. And in there, it states how many positive cases to date. Unfortunately, it is on the rise within our jurisdiction. And our jurisdiction covers all of our different communities throughout the state. And I believe...
When you say on the rise, how many cases have you been dealing with in the Ho-Chunk Nation?
Hold on.
And while you look, we're talking with Matthew Mann, who is an officer for the Ho-Chunk Nation of Wisconsin. We're discussing how the coronavirus pandemic has affected gaming revenue and the nation itself and tribal budgets. Do you work for a tribal government? How will the loss of gaming revenue affect you? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. So, Matthew, you know, how is your nation affected by the coronavirus, and what, you know, what kind of cases have you seen?
We unfortunately have only two deaths within the nation. Today, we just got an email saying that we have three additional confirmed cases, bringing positive cases up to 22. And how has it impacted it? A lot of these unrelated COVID cases where of our people have passed away, we are very communal and family-oriented people. And because of the safer at-home orders, a lot of people during this time when their relatives have passed away, they weren't able to come together as a people as we usually do during these times to comfort one another, and we all had to do it from a distance, and it's been really hard on our people in that aspect as COVID. And like I was saying earlier, we haven't been hit as hard as the Navajo Nation because the orders that President Marlin has put into place, we feel that those were the safest things for our families to stay at home, social distancing. And also the other major impact was the closing of our facilities because we employ not only a number of tribal people, but we also employ a number of non-tribal people. So that has affected them also. But during this time, we had tried to keep them on a layoff plan that allowed us to keep their insurance through the nation so that they could, should anything happen medically to them, should they need to seek medical attention, that the insurance there would be provided for them. With the closure of our casinos, and our revenue that was needed to be generated by the casinos to run our different programs because of the Self-Determination Act in 1975, we've tried to steer away from federal funding for most of our programs so that we could be self-sufficient, self-determined. And through that, we had to cut some of our services to some of our programs that are provided to our people. And even though they weren't fully cut, we kept the essential programs running for our elders, for our social services programs, so that if anything should happen, emergencies, that we'd be able to help them out. And with the opening of the casinos, we're hoping that that we could continue offering these type of services that are provided, that we provide to our people here.
Matthew, how has it been for the tribal nation as you start to lift those orders, as you start to ease up and allow more congregation, allowing more gaming, allowing more members of the tribal nation to come together? What are you seeing?
I'm seeing that it's really like, it's almost like a cabin fever type mentality where these people, you know, are kind of like wanting to come together, wanting to enjoy each other's company, wanting to have these celebrations of life, such as birthdays. And a big thing is coming up here is that a lot of our youth have graduated, and a lot of them now are seeing their school districts offering graduations. Even though it's a social distancing type of graduation, like here in Black River Falls on July 24th, they're going to have one, and they're only allowing 4 family members at a safe place. But then there's families talking about, you know, coming together, having graduation celebrations for, you know, their children. And it's kind of really exciting to see that because we really need that now in this time, in this like I said, we're very family-oriented tribe. We're a very small nation. We're only 7,000 plus, so we're kind of like a close-knit family throughout the state of Wisconsin. Throughout, we extend into Minneapolis and St. Paul, and even into the Chicago area. And then there's a number of tribal members that we worry about that live outside of those areas, and one of the places where there is 200 and some members that live is also in California.
Oh.
So we're kind of like scattered throughout the state, throughout the United States.
Throughout the nation, and keeping tabs on those members. Matthew Mann with us explaining the stresses from the Ho-Chunk Nation as amid the coronavirus. Do you work for a tribal government? How will the loss of gaming revenue affect your department? Have you been laid off from your job in the Ho-Chunk Nation? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a moment on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the pandemic's effect on the Ho-Chunk Nation budget and the loss of gaming revenue as casinos slowly resume operations. News outlets have been reporting numbers from the National Indian Gaming Association. The 241 tribes nationwide, including the 11 here in Wisconsin, they could lose about $22 billion, about half of their projected revenue for this year. Are you a member of a tribal nation? Let's hear from you. Are you concerned about the loss of revenue? Do you frequent tribal casinos? What draws you? Are you comfortable with new health precautions in place? Join in at 800-642-1234. Matthew Mann is Public Relations Officer of the Ho-Chunk Tribal Nation of Wisconsin, and he stays with us. Matthew, can you tell us about the layoffs that have occurred in your tribal nation? Because those, as you had mentioned, were temporary. They are now permanent layoffs. What are these jobs?
The jobs are actually on the government side here. We were anticipating an earlier opening of our casinos. So to help with the people that went from temporary to permanent, it was so that we could help with their benefits, that we didn't want them to incur a cost coming back to the nation. There's legislation today that will be proposed in a legislative meeting because of the CARES funding that we received, that we could help our employees with their payment for insurance, because during this time they had incurred the cost of the insurance payment of their premium payment for each week. So today, I know that the legislatures are meeting today and that the executive side are proposing legislation on how they can best appropriate the CARES Act funding.
How has the Ho-Chunk Nation been able to use the relief aid from the CARES Act legislation?
In the CARES Act package, there was guidelines on what it could be used for the purpose of such as rental assistance, mortgage payments, and we're looking into other avenues of how we could best use this money in best practices for not only for our people, but also for our employees. So that's the legislation that's being proposed today in our legislative meetings.
When you look at gaming and the revenue that goes to fortify programs you have in the nation, how important is that revenue stream?
Oh, it's very important. It funds not only, we have four branches of government. We have the executive branch, we have the legislative branch, we have our judicial branch, our court systems, and also it funds our police force. That's how far that's the programs that we have. And also within the executive side, we also have these different departments that we have. We have the Department of Heritage Preservation, which we're trying to preserve our language, our culture, our identity here. Not only that, also within that program, they also go out and, you know, a big issue within the past years were the burial mounds, sacred burial mounds that are important not only to our people, but also to what holds us here to the land as far as cultural. Those are the different things that are funded by our casino-generated revenue. The Department of Natural Resources is another prime example of what they want to do as far as organic farming, making sure that the spread of the oak wilt, things like that, to make
invasive
sure that our
species.
Land,
yeah.
Yes. So those are the different programs. Also, for our Indian child welfare children that are in the system, it assists with them with different things like such as foster care program. Those are the types of things that we fund with our revenue, and we had to cut down to bare bones on those once the casinos were closing our major revenue generator. So that's what we're affected. Also, like I was saying, our court systems, which are very, you know, they are the very crucial to, you know, to practice our inherent sovereignty, our right to make government-to-government relations through the court systems. That was heavily affected. So there's a number of things that were affected through the closing of our casinos because of COVID. Do we feel that that it's the end of the world? No, it's not. For, we have been here, our oral history tells us that we have been here for three ice ages, and we have overcome and adapted to our ever-changing environment. And this is no different. We will overcome and we will adapt and we will change to the ever-changing environment. You had stated earlier that we would talk about steps being taken within our facilities. We are requiring people to practice the personal protection orders, such as wearing masks, hand sanitizers, temperatures will be screened. We're taking those type of precautions for our facilities.
Yeah.
Not only for the casinos, but we're trying to make sure that our frontline employees are protected also during this time, because they're out there with the public every day, and they're actually almost like the face of the nation when customers come into our establishments.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Matthew Mann, who is Public Relations Officer of the Ho-Chunk Tribal Nation of Wisconsin. And we're looking at the pandemic's effect on his tribal nation, one of 11 in Wisconsin, with your impact as well. Join in at 800-642-1234. Matthew, how does this change how you budget for the future with so many programs that are tied into relying on the revenue from gaming operations? How do you budget going forward?
Ho-Chunk Nation President Marlon White Eagle has asked each of his executive directors to search for additional grant-funded programs that would help budget for next year's budget that we could apply for, so that we wouldn't rely heavily on gaming as much. And then also, we're looking to diversify within, even before this pandemic had occurred, one of our executive officers were attending investment opportunities where we can better invest and diversify our portfolio so that we wouldn't heavily rely on gaming. It was a few years ago that some of our elders had warned us that, you know, gaming is not going to be here forever, that we need to explore different avenues as far as generating revenue for our Ho-Chunk Nation. And so when last year, I think it was July 5th, that President Marlin had took the oath of office, that he got together with his administration and wanted to explore different investment opportunities, different places that we could grow as far as enterprises, because he too also seen that we couldn't heavily rely on our gaming revenue. Even at that time, when we were looking at different gaming places such as Las Vegas and Atlantic City, we understood that the market was kind of not there as it had been in the previous years, that this younger generation wasn't really too heavily involved in gaming. So at that time, he had already foreseen that we needed another avenue
to diversify.
Revenue.
Yeah, diversify revenue. Matthew, I want to ask before we have to go, what would the elders tell us right now about resiliency and how we should be thinking about this pandemic?
That we should come together, that they themselves have went through things. There's a thing that they were talking about, and they call it pre-casino, I believe is the way that one of our elders had said it, was that there was a time where we all worked together for the common goal of having a better nation. And that's what we need to do today, not only on the government side, but also on the everyday people side, that we would have to come together and that we would have to stand strong, and that in doing so, that we can overcome any obstacle that is put before us.
Matthew, do you feel like you have the resources in place, like for testing and for helping people through this crisis?
Yes, we do. We actually, that was part of the other part of the CARES funding, was that the funding was to be used for our tribal nation for testing. July 8th, I believe, they're doing testing in the La Crosse area at one of our branch offices. There's free testing here in Black River Falls at our clinic. At the different gaming sites, they had offered free testing just about before we opened our casinos on the 29th. Each one of the facilities were hosting a free testing site, which was open not only to the people, but it was also open to the workers and I believe to the general public. So we do have those testing sites available. As I was driving in here, the ladies next door at the Helichunk Healthcare Clinic had put up a free testing banner outside on the corner of the street to allow people to know that we are, you know, doing testing for our people.
Well, Matthew, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Matthew Mann, Public Relations Officer of the Ho-Chunk Tribal Nation of Wisconsin. Coming up, we talk with Health Secretary Andrea Palm. That's after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.